We're up to the second trait in the Talmud Torah, Bet, page Tes. Nosei Avon. Hashem upholds our sin. What does that mean? It means He carries the weight of the sin. This is an even greater trait than its predecessor. Sharei lo yaaseh ha'adam avon shelo yivra mashchit. The person doesn't sin without having an impact. He creates, so to speak, a harmful force in the world. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avot that when one does a sin, he creates an angel that's a prosecutor against him. So that angel standing there in heaven saying, I was created by so and so on that day with that action. Now, who gives life to that angel, or who gives life to the continuation of a person's actions, of a person's sin? Hashem is the one that causes that ripple effect, that gives life and allows things to happen. So then, take this angel, take this the harmful effect that's now playing itself out. So what gives it life? Hadin noten shomar kadosh baruch hu einizan mashchitim. Logic would dictate, we just turned the page, that God says, I don't support harmful angels. I don't support harm. You did an action that causes harm, you support that harm. So then a person would be responsible not only for his actions and the product of his actions, but also to, so to speak, fund, to, so to speak, sustain that product of the action. Where does the strength for that come from in the world? So let's say we'll talk in terms of angels. If there's an angel that's created, where does he get his life from? Logic would dictate, God says, you support him. Why should I support him? You created him. So then that angel would come down, take a person's soul, or cut him off, or else, really, if we take this along, the ideas of that we took it in a more simplistic sense, that when we do an action, there are repercussions, and then those repercussions keep happening, so then a person should really pay the price until he makes amends for what he did wrong. And Hashem doesn't do that with us. But Hashem says, okay, I'll carry the weight. I'll carry the burden of the sin. Just as Hashem supports everything else in the world, He gives life to the plants, He gives life to the human beings, so too He sustains the results of our sins until one of three things happens. Either a person repents, and then as part of his repentance, he can rectify what he did wrong. Or else, God will ultimately judge him over it, and he'll pay the price for what he did wrong. Or else, he'll end up going to perdition and paying the price for it in the world to come. And that's what Cain says. Cain kills his brother. So that's the perfect example of a sin that has tremendous repercussions. The world began with Adam and Eve, and they had two children, Cain and Abel. Imagine Cain hadn't killed Abel. So then potentially, the world would be double its potential. Because at the starting point, you would have had two instead of one. So the world could have accomplished twice as much. So the repercussions of Cain's actions keep going. So when God takes Cain to task, Cain turns to God and says, Gadol avoni minaso? Is my sin too weighty for you, God, to carry? Upershu Razal, and our sages interpreted it that Cain was saying, Kol olam kulo ata sovel. God, you sustain the rest of the world. Yotzei zanum fanes. You sustain, you give food, you give whatever the world needs. You're the one that gives it. You can't carry my sin. What was Cain saying? I know I have a lot to fix, but I can't fix it all in one day. I know I did an action in a split second, and the repercussions just keep going. But I'm human. I need time. So can't you hold on to the sin until I fix it? And God says, okay, God accepts that claim. And that's this trait that Hashem says, let's take the example of murder. So Cain kills Abel. So the repercussions of that sin are unfathomable. But God says, I'll carry all of that, so to speak. You work on it one day at a time. Nosei Avon, Hashem says, I'm willing to carry the weight. I'll carry the check. So long as you work, I give you time. I have patience. אם כן, הרי זו מידת סבלנות גדולה, so that's tremendous patience, שיזון ויפרנס בלי הרעה שברא אחותה, שישוב, that Hashem says, I'll carry the weight of the repercussions of your actions until you repent. Just one second, Chaim, you wanted something?
What was perdition?
Hell.
Oh.
It's just a nicer word. The Talmud tells us that whenever we have a choice which vocabulary to use, we choose gentler words. Except if the student won't understand it well, then you use whatever term is going to get him to understand it. That's what the Talmud says. So we sometimes, if we can use a nicer term, we use it. And if not, then we say it bluntly. Yes?
So would you say that
But I appreciate your asking. It's important. Otherwise, how are you going to learn? Yeah?
Well, would you say that God's second trait of mercy that we're talking about is that his understanding of us being human, and therefore will carry the weight of our sins, so that we can do teshuva one day at a time.
So, the first part of what you said, I think, is a little different.
Okay.
Meaning, it's not that he understands we're human, because that's not a good enough excuse. God could say, "You're human. That's very nice. You did it. Pay the price. Come on, zap." Okay, that would be fair. Even though he understands we're human, at the end of the day, you did it, you pay the price. You know, a person takes a fork and sticks it into the socket. I'm human, don't give me all the volts, old ones. Guys, you know, here in Israel, it's 220, it's like Europe. A person could get electrocuted here. I'm just telling you, don't try this at home. But the fairness of it, I don't think we could call it that. I think we could call it Hashem's kindness, his mercy. He's going beyond the call of duty, meaning technically he could say, you're human, okay, pay the price. No tiki, no washi, right? You know, pay up. Hashem says, out of mercy, he's going to do it. It's not, I don't think I would say it's out of understanding. Understanding doesn't condone it.
Okay. If I were to replace the word understanding with God's mercy as the attribute in question, or in analysis, then it's his mercy upon God's mercy towards us. If we were to transgress or sin, then he mercifully gives us day by day to repent and carries the weight
of the repercussions. The weight of the repercussions. That's the big thing, because the repercussions keep going.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Imagine that you have a roommate. We'll not talk about you. Okay? There are two roommates. We'll call him Mike and Jack. Okay? So, Jack starts going out. And then they call Mike for a reference. So they ask him, what type of guy is Jack? So he remembers that once Jack really was at the park and there were these kids annoying him, and he let them have it, and he really lost his temper. So without thinking too much, he says, he's a nice guy, he's a great guy, but you know, with kids, he could lose his temper. I don't know if I'd trust him with kids. And then he hangs up the phone and he says to himself, what a stupid thing I said. He's great with kids. That was the day he lost his job. That was the day, that was a pretty stupid thing. I wasn't thinking. You know, no one would have done that much better than him. I was too quick to say something bad about him. And he looks back at his caller ID and he sees he doesn't know the number and he can't call back. And the girl breaks up with Jack and goes back and tells her friends, you know, this guy seemed like such a nice guy, but really he has a temper you wouldn't know. So no one's willing to date Jack. And then she goes back to the matchmaker and says, look, I know he seems nice, but I heard he could really be rough with kids. This isn't the guy that I'm happy you set me up with. So now it's snowballing. Slowly but surely, he destroyed Jack's reputation. Jack may never dig out from under it. He may or may not. But the repercussions of what he said, well, they go a long way. Now along comes Mike. He comes to Yom Kippur and he says, I want to do tshuva. And Shemayim may say, sure, you want to do tshuva. You've got a ways to go. Jack is going to suffer for many years from what you did. So the idea is, it's not only that we need one day at a time, it's that we need that time also because the tshuva on the repercussions is huge. We like to think of what we've done as a small thing, as a limited action, when in fact, it's broader than that. The point of encouragement in all that is that the flip side is also true. You do something positive, you're doing much more than just helping the person. Now let's take a different conversation. The girl's contemplating breaking up with Jack. She calls up Mike, and Mike says, "What a great guy, are you kidding me? This guy, he'll go all out for you, he's the best roommate in the world. You don't find guys like that easily." And she reconsiders, and she goes out, and she marries him, and he has kids and grandkids and everything else. Okay, so that's all thanks to Mike. So that's where we have this advantage. It's not only to our detriment, it's also to our advantage that the calculations go beyond the limited action. It goes to the repercussions that follow.
So now what does it mean when God takes the repercussions on his back?
That God says, I'm not gonna expect Mike to pay up now for everything he did wrong, including all the repercussions. I'll carry the weight of the repercussions. Mike has to work it one day at a time.
Okay.
That was Cain's claim to God. Because the sin is a split second. All of a two-minute fight, and Cain killed his brother Abel. In today's day and age, you just pulled the trigger. Okay. In 1 second, now the world changed. Now how do you do tshuva for that? Many of our major sins are split-second decisions. But the repercussions are huge. Okay. So Hashem says, okay, you can't deal with all the repercussions on the moment. It's going to take time. And during that time, I'll carry the weight. I won't hold you accountable. I won't demand payment, so to speak. Yeah?
I understand.
Yes?
How does... My understanding is that if something happened to somebody, if this happened to Jack, this is what Jack had coming to him. Mike didn't have to be the shliach. So... how does it balance out that you're the shaliach, you're the one who chose to do it, but that the other person, the fact that this happened to him, and repercussions, and he may not get married, whatever, but now Jack and somehow merited this. This isn't out of the blue.
That deserves a longer discussion. I could answer it in 1 minute. I'm not sure I could be understandable in 1 minute. I'd rather we defer discussion for tomorrow night, okay? Will you be there tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Okay, so remind me in the question and answers, the heading that we'll try to put this under is the free will and our capacity to harm others. And then we have to discuss the Radak and the Gaonim on Avshalom, and we have to discuss the Medrash on what Moshe Rabbeinu saw when he was up at Mount Sinai. And what vision did he see? There's a Medrash about that too. Those are two sources we should cover. Okay, now to the practical. So the Tomer Dvorah says, Yilmad Adam kama tzrich sheye savlan. From here we learn how patient one should be. Yisbol avel chaverav, chavero v'ra'otav she'era ad shiu kaze, shadayin ra'ato kayemet shechata kenegdo. A person has to be patient enough to be willing to put up with it. Sometimes what he did is still there staring him in the face. Imagine Jack finds out about that phone conversation. And he's still Mike's roommate. How do you live with him? Patience. And a person is supposed to have that patience till the other party either fixes it or it's annulled. And in life, this is a phenomenal lesson. We have a whole class in our marriage series about contending with your partner's weaknesses. We have the story of the husband who begged his wife to seatbelt the kids. And she didn't. And he had to deal with a child that couldn't walk for the rest of his life because of that accident where everyone knew that had she put on the seatbelt, that child wouldn't have ended up that way. How do you deal with a spouse that way? Every day he wakes up and sees the product of her failure. And he begged her, don't drive. Don't, nothing's more important than that. But part of life is dealing with the weaknesses of our spouse and the repercussions. And believe it or not, we also have weaknesses. And our spouses have to deal with our weaknesses. And there are repercussions. Yeah, you seem shocked. Yeah, I don't know you yet. But I'm going to assume you're human. You know, there's a joke. Two men meet. So one, they both are newly married. So one asks the other one, how's marriage? So he says, my wife's an angel. So the first guy says, really? My wife's also not human. So as far as I know, you're human. You're, so back to the Talmud Dvorah. So this idea that we have to have patience, that's a lesson in life. It's a lesson because very often we think that there's a question of right and wrong. And that's a question that pertains, like, there was once, this year, there was a student who came and he had huge issues in his marriage. And I said, and then he went and asked another rabbi, and he said it more bluntly than me. He said, you want to go to court? Court decides who's right. In marriage, you decide how you love and how you move forward. It's not only about right and wrong. So the other party's wrong, okay, but you're married. Now you have to figure out how to make it work. It's not only about right and wrong. Sometimes you say, I'm right. Okay, so if you can get the other party to see it your way, fine. There is a right and wrong in life. But at the end of the day, there are many things we know we should be doing differently. I know I should go to sleep on time. I know I shouldn't be wasting time surfing on the net. I know I shouldn't overcharge the credit card. I know I should clean up after myself. I know my wife begged me 1,000 times not to put my socks or floss next to the bed. I know a million things. I know I should make my bed in the morning when I get up. I know there are a million things we know. Do we all brush our teeth every night? There are a lot of things we know we should do different. I know my wife asked me to turn my undershirt inside out when I put it in the hamper, right? There are a million things we know they ask. Right side in, inside out, whatever. There are a million things they ask, and they're right, I'm wrong. But do I do them? Yeah?
What do you do if your wife suddenly begins to go off to there?
So that deserves a longer discussion where...
it's like very hard to convince her to stay.
That deserves a longer discussion. I don't think we can encompass it completely in a session, but if you bring it up tomorrow night, then we can raise some approaches, some approaches to the question. Are you going to remember all this till tomorrow night? Write it down. I won't, so don't count on me. Okay. So, what we see tonight, that's Nosei Avon, the great patience that Hashem has, that He carries the weight of the repercussions of our sin, until we can contend with it and deal with it, and from there we learn the patience we should have to deal with other people's faults, in spite of the fact that there are repercussions. And again, you'll come to the marriage class, you'll see we have a whole class just horrific stories from real life occurrences where people paid the price, and at the end of the day, you don't have much of a choice. That's part of life. We do pay the price for one another's faults and weaknesses. Your wife overcharges the credit card. Your husband has a gambling problem. Your wife has an alcohol problem. Your husband has an internet problem. We have to deal. You know, that's part of life. We all have weaknesses, and we have to have this patience. We don't come with a ruler and say, okay, either you add up or you don't add up. We say, okay, we're human. Let's see how we make it work.